We're back today teaching, again, on lining up with God's Word to receive healing. We've been going through this teaching. Really, it's been a lot more than I've first started out in the areas of teaching. But it's one thing is we can do in these kind of Bible studies. We can take a long time and really, you know, dig into a lot of different areas and things and stuff and look at. Because, you know, many times people, the average probably Christian, even in the areas of healing and things, probably have more or less what they know about healing. They've heard from a sermon here, a sermon there, and that stuff. And many times people have never, you know, they just hear things about God wants to heal you, God, which is good. I mean, God wants to heal you and things and stuff. But they never, they have questions in their minds and they never get answered. And when you start digging around in the Word and looking at a lot of different things and looking at it from different aspects, people can get a lot of questions asked, answered that they did not, don't normally do it. And that's why as taking the time is going into to the subjects like this. It's sort of like, you know, when I went to Bible school, to be able to sit day after day in classes on a subject where they had time to really go over things and go over things, answer questions and stuff and things. And you have that time. It makes a huge difference. And I think churches make big mistakes on that. I think a lot of, even from pastors, I appreciate pastors that do more from the standpoint of teaching on series. I like series teachings because they go over things more and go into things than getting up every Sunday and just having a different message. Well, you know, you get up and you hear, you know, enough about a subject to make you inquisitive, but not enough to answer. You really can do anything about it. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that nobody would learn anything from it. You could, but I've been taught things already where you hear a sermon. When the sermon got done, I had more questions after than I did before. And it wasn't because it was a bad sermon. It was because it opened up doors to me to, oh, well, what about this and this? You know, and so there's things you have to find out about. That's why we do in the areas of series teachings. Is because, just like with going through these, is really taking the time to take a subject and just sort of really go through the scriptures, looking at all the scriptures and things that go on. Lining up with God's Word to receive healing, we were really used one of our major scriptures was from Hebrews 11:6, which says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, speaking of God. Those who come to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We were looking at the aspect because there's things you must believe. And so we're looking at healing. We're looking at things you must believe. There's things that you have to believe if you want to receive healing from God. Now, that doesn't mean that God couldn't operate through a manifestation of the gift of the Spirit and a person get healed, really, that wasn't in faith. You know, the guy at the gate beautiful got healed. Was he in faith? No. Didn't believe a thing. He got healed by somebody else's faith. So, I mean, that's possible. But what we're teaching is you can come to the place where you can turn around and if you're attacked in your body, you can be made well. You can learn to operate. And also giving us the ability to minister to others because when people don't know, I've learned this over time. I would have liked to have, you know, gifts of healing or something just operate all the time. I mean, that'd be, you know, you think about that, it'd be really nice. But actually, it wouldn't help anybody develop in faith. It wouldn't help people develop in their own faith. God wants us to respond to Him in faith. Through faith can I please God. He didn't say through the manifestations of the Spirit do I please God. He said through faith. In other words, when people operate by faith, trust God. And so this is what we're doing. We're trying to teach people to trust God. That's what we want. They can trust God. They're going to find out. God wants us, and look, is to trust individually. That's the highest level of faith that anybody can ever walk in, is where you believe God's word for yourself, and you believe and you receive God's promise. That's the highest form. That ain't something low. We've sort of turned that upside down today and made it like, oh, if you're operating in the gifts, that's the biggie. Or, you know, if you went up and got healed at a many hen meeting, that was the biggie. No, it's manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit most of the time of what all that's going on. There's nothing wrong with that. Dear Lord, if you can get it that way, get it. But the whole thing of it is, that doesn't help you when you leave the meeting and 2 months down the road, you get sick again. And what are you going to do? Wait till you get to the next Benny Hinn meeting? Or what are you going to do? Wait. This is what many people are doing. They're trying. Well, after a while, I'll tell you that it won't work. You won't keep going back and get it. Because why? You come to a place when God reveals that He wants to bless you or help you, then He wants you to start to rise to a higher level. It's just like, you know, you start off with children tying their shoes and doing all their stuff for them, but you come to the point where they're required to do things. And that wasn't bad parenting, that's good parenting. That's being a good parent. Teaching your children is one of the biggest problems we have today with children is parents never teach their children to be self-sufficient. Take care of themselves. They're always dependent on their parent. And so they never grow up. And they wonder why. You know, they just never always depend. And mom and dad have to do everything for them, take care of everything for them. And I'll say, you can't do that. You can't have that. Why? Because a person doesn't become to the place. Is number one, people have a tendency like to be God in other people's lives. I saw that in a lot of counseling. You know, there's good people counsel, but there's a lot of bad people counsel. They like to be able to speak and direct other people's lives all the time, you know. I tell people what the Bible says. If God can't direct their lives, you know, ain't no point in him trying to figure God can't do it, give them the word, you know. But people get over, and what they want to do after a while is they're trying to get over, and really sort of there's a bit of a control there. People like to, you know, have dominance in somebody. You have to come to me all the time to get answers. No, I want to tell you something. You can go to God. He'll answer you as quick as he'd answer anybody else. Hallelujah. And this is the whole thing. That's what the Lord told me when I first started the church. He said, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do. Now, that doesn't mean that I was surely at the top of anything or am. But in other words, I know this. A lot of people I was further along in learning. So there's a lot of things I learned over time and knew God. And I knew this. A lot of the people didn't know. They didn't know. But I could teach them how to get a hold of God. And that's the whole point. God wants the people to know. He wants you to know. You can get a hold of him too. You know, it's any ministry. I don't care. You can sit down and say, well, you know, this guy over here, you know, he knows God so well and blah, blah, blah. He isn't special. You can know God as well as that person can. That's what God wants. He wants you to come to the place that you have a personal knowledge of him. He communicates with you. He fellowships with you. He gives you revelation that you need. You know, there's revelation you need in your life I don't need. But you need it. Because what you're doing, we're here, you need certain things. You need to know. Well, he wants to reveal that to you. He wants you to understand that, know that. That's why you need to hear from heaven. Now, we looked at the facts. We talked about it in our opening as we looked at coming to the place that you have to come to the place that you know that's God's will for you to be healed. We also looked at the fact that God was a liberal giver, and we went through a lot of scriptures and all these things, looking at these things. We found that it was God's will for everybody to be well. You got to know that. You got to know that God is a liberal giver, because understand that you're going to him to get something. You have to know what kind of giver he is. Even if God wants you to be well, will he give it to you? How is God? And we looked at ways. We also studied and looked at ways that God gives healing. And we looked at numbers of different ways. And now we're looking in the area specifically. I would use one of the major ways, and I would say it's the major way that God ministers healing to people, is through the laying on of hands. Is one of the, because we see so much of it in the Bible, in the fact of things that Jesus made statements about himself and in his ministry. We've been looking at things of people, and I think it's really important. We looked about Jesus and when he went to Nazareth. And it said he couldn't do any mighty work there, but he was able to minister to heal a few sick people. In other words, people, one of the translations says people with minor ailments. In other words, through the laying on of hands, it seems that is a way that we can minister to people when other things don't work, that we can do something. And we talked about the fact, and I'm totally convinced of it. It doesn't directly say it in the Bible, but I know this from the standpoint of the practice of the word of ministering in the areas of healing. There's one thing that I have found out. Laying hands on people, that personal contact with an individual, is much like dealing with, I use, you know, the examples of like electric flowing through a circuit. You turn on your light switch and that allows that electric. Well, the wires are connected. When those wires aren't connected, there's no power going to it. Now, they can, and they do. They have produced things of sending out signals, a type of... I'm not sure if the frequencies are as high as the radio, higher than the radio signals or not, but they've been able to light light bulbs. I mean, we could do that. We could check our antennas in the service to see if they would light a light bulb. I think you can do it. You know, you can go on a CB radio antenna, and I think... a pretty good powerful CB radio, if you walk up with that a light bulb to an antenna, you could probably get the light to light up on it if you put it up with the antenna. because the power that's transmitted from that will light the light bulb. So we used to check our antennas. That's the way we were supposed to do it, make sure that our signal was transmitting and okay through the antenna. There wasn't anything going wrong. We had these big coaxial cables. They weren't like a round cable. Our cables were about this big. They were rectangular inside. They were huge, expensive. I forget how many hundreds of dollars a foot they cost. And they were gold-lined in the inside and that stuff. And they were hugely expensive. And so if anything's messed up in those cables that they don't work, you test and see if you take a light. They had these things, a light bulb on a stick. Stick it up there in front of the antenna on this parabolic dish and it light up. We say, we got a signal. We're doing good. We got one. You won't do that around a satellite dish for your TV. Ain't enough power there to do that. Coming in or going out. Ain't enough there. Anyhow, so, the actual contact. So we can transmit. It takes much more power and things to do it. But I'm totally convinced that when we get over in these areas, to the laying on of hands is a powerful thing, because we find the laying on of hands was used. We talked about the fact, and I used the example of Paul writing to Timothy, telling the gift that he got, told he was told to stir up the gift that was in him that he got by the laying on of hands through his elders. So the elders had laid hands on him and transmitted a gift to him. It was through the touch. And we need to understand that is in Christianity. Don't ever get over in using the things that the Bible tells us to do and thinking of them, they're just a ritual, you know, that we go through. Many people, that's all it is ritual. They have no faith in its doing. They don't believe something's going to be imparted. You know, with Paul and Barnabas were set apart to the ministry. God said, the Spirit of God spoke to them when they were praying and set them apart to the ministry I called them to. In other words, they weren't set apart. It told the people to set them apart. In other words, they weren't set apart till they set them apart. It says they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them out. You know what? They weren't anointed to do that till they laid hands on them. It didn't matter that they were called to do it. It's one thing is the separation to do it. God does that, and most of the time it's done through the laying on of hands. People lay hands on people and set them apart to that ministry. It's another thing to it, in doing those kinds of things, people are being recognized that they have a gift that is working through them. You know, people need to know that. People need to know that you can go and tell everybody you want you got a gift. People need to see something. They need to know somebody with some integrity sees something. There's a lot of people running around calling themselves a lot of things today, and they don't even stand in the office. That they say, just because some man says he's something, I don't believe it because he tells me. I tell you, I've seen more false prophets than a little bit. You know, I see these people out here and they get into this, they study prophecy. So people call them prophets. Studying prophecy ain't being a prophet. You'd be a teacher, study prophecy. You'd be a guy that ain't even anointed with a ministry gift and you can study prophecy. And you can gain a huge amount of knowledge. I know people that don't stand in ministry offices that know a lot about certain things in the Bible. They know more than most of the preachers that preach it know about it. So I don't make them that gift. They don't make them a teacher because they understand it. You know, it's another thing to be anointed to convey what you know. Just to tell people what you know ain't enough. You got to be able to convey it. The anointing helps you convey it so people get a hold of it. You know, so it's from a teaching standpoint. That's one of the big failures in the church world. The church world, you know, has always took kids and that stuff. If somebody was a teacher in school, they want them to be a Sunday school teacher. That don't mean they can convey what they know. Be good to get somebody that had a gift from God to do it. We just think because they, you know, the world, the church has just been so worldly. We just buy anything the world throws out there. We wonder why things don't work. It's being gifted by God. And so you want to see if an individual is actually gifted by God to stand in a certain office. And so praise God. But the laying on of hands is so important. And we're looking at this. We're looking at examples from the scriptures about the laying hands on. I want you to be convinced of it, that if you're having somebody laying hands on you, that you're operating in faith in it, that it's a scriptural thing to do to receive your healing. If you're going to go in that way, you need to believe in it. Many people are skeptical. They just go through the ritual to see if something happens. They have no faith in it whatsoever. You can have faith in laying on the hands because it is in the Scripture. You're to have faith in it. You're going to have faith that when a hand is put on you, something will be transmitted from that individual to you. Something's going to be transmitted. And you need to have faith in that. If you don't, it's just ritual. That's all it is. It's just religious ritual that has no meaning to it. It's a nice thing, but nothing happens. And so we need to know this is not ritual. This is a way of imparting something to somebody else. And we find this out. I did talk about it before, and I want to reiterate it today. I was meditating on these things, and I really felt to talk about this area again, is doing this over here as we minister to people because of it, the laying on of hands being so predominant. It's a very predominant thing as we do and understanding that, the understanding the importance of it, its use is Jesus, and the fact that we have looked before, but I just want to say again, you know, we have Mark, in Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, where Jesus sent out the believers. And we've used this numbers of times, but I just want to see it because this is Jesus Christ himself. This is written down by Mark. Mark wrote this down. And so this was put in scriptures for us as a quote from Jesus. I always liked, you know, what John G. Lake used to say this all the time. He said, if anybody tells me something, he said, if Jesus talked about it himself in the scriptures and he talked about that subject and what to do, he said, Jesus is the final authority. He said, I only accept Jesus as the final authority. So in other words, it doesn't matter what somebody else says about it. What did Jesus say? Well, Jesus, in speaking to, in Mark 16 and verse 17, he said, these signs, what will follow those who believe in my name, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's interesting because the things he said, you know, they'll cast out devils. The next things that he spoke about are things that are more toward their own personal life. And so it deals with their own personal life. In other words, the taking up serpents. In other words, we see like the Apostle Paul was personally bit by a snake. He shook it off and it didn't affect him. You know, but please don't get into the snake handling religion. You know, they're on TV now, you know. They have one of these shows on TV. It's supposed to be those reality shows, and it's about snake handling preachers down south someplace, and they handle rattlesnakes and stuff and things, and they have a reality show on there about that. You know, isn't it amazing though? Here's the whole thing of it is, we see this mentioned here in scriptures. It's hardly even mentioned about this thing here, and they make it a big deal about their religion, about their worship. You don't ever take a minor thing and make it a major. You know, it's like Brother Hagin, he used to talk about the church majoring in the minors. He said, if anything of minor importance, he said the church has made a big deal of it. Anything of major importance, they don't know nothing about. And you got to watch it. You don't build doctors. I watch major ministers. They teach a lot of good things, but they get over every once in a while in doctrines, and they take a minor thing that's mentioned once in the scriptures, and they make a big deal out of it. They overemphasize it. They take it too far. They carry it over too far, saying things that the scriptures don't. Because it'll lead you there. There's this great push today to be able to come up with something new. Do you ever notice the guys, a lot of people follow on TV, they're always coming up with some new idea, do something or other, doing this. They're always coming up with something. Because why? People, generally, people's flesh dominate them and they can't stay with anything any period of time. You always got to be. That's why, you know, they preach, you know. You got 20 minutes sermon, man, you choke them on 20 minutes. Now, you know, it's like 16 minutes. 16 and a couple videos you could do, but you got to can it after that, you know. We got, you know, worship, you know, 8 to 12 minutes. Don't do any more than that one. Or, you know, I mean, they throw up if they have to worship God longer than that. And, you know, they'll never come back. And so you get all this stuff put together. And this is why. So people, ministers feel pressure to turn around and go out and find something new. I don't need nothing new. I'll tell you what, I need to learn. My God, God's given me more things of revelation in the areas of things I thought I knew lately. That, dear God, I mean, it's just showing me about the old things that I need to do. And But we go over into here is the fact of he ends at the end, and this is really dealing the area for ministry. We don't lay on hands on ourselves to be sick. I wouldn't have to do that, would I? I don't have to give me what I got, do I? So, the laying on the hands on the sick is dealing directly in the areas of ministry. In other words, the people who believe, they're going to have something in them to minister to others, and that's going to be healing. You're going to have something in you to minister to others, and it's going to be healing. You have that in you. So the laying on of hands is told here, especially at Jesus' departure. I mean, he has the opportunity to tell them what's going to be important to do. And this is what he says to them. He gives them this. This is what you're going to do. So the laying on of hands, the fact that he does this, we should understand this. The laying on of hands is going to be a predominant way that healing is ministered. But also from the standpoint, you need to learn to listen to the Holy Ghost. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't say anything other than that to you, lay hands on people. That's what you do. You lay hands on them. If he tells you just to speak over somebody or some other way to do it, you know, if he tells you to tell go dip in Jordan 7 times. If he tells you to do that or he tells you to do certain things, you want to listen to the Spirit to do it. But generally, majority of the time, this is probably the way that a person is going to be ministered to. This is one of the ways that people are going to be ministered to, especially people coming into the kingdom who haven't heard much about these kinds of things. Now, sometimes you get in some very large meetings, it's almost be impossible to minister in that way. You know, I know, like, say, Christopher Alam, I mean, he may get hundreds of thousands, you know, he may have about 500,000 people a meeting. Well, you can't, you know, and he's over in Africa. Well, you're going to lay hands on the sick. Well, you're going to have 99% of the people up there in front of you. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, they'll carry you out in an ambulance if you try to get down there and, you know, you just wear yourself out. They don't minister healing like that, and we need to understand why God does certain things in certain ways. But I found out this, and it's one of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and it's true. Brother Hagin used to say that ministering under smaller settings where you can lay hands on people and minister them, he said, works better because he said sometimes, and I found this to be true, sometimes when I touch an individual in the areas of ministering them, say they're for healing or something, when I touch an individual, all of a sudden I'll know something. So sometimes there might be something that's keeping a person from receiving. There might be something or some God wants to minister to the person. And so through that, the laying on of hands is an absolutely incredible thing. I found many times gifts of the Spirit would operate. Sometimes I don't even have to touch a person. Sometimes just if a person gets in front of me, I'll know. Now that don't happen all the time. I mean, I don't know all the time with people. But when I get over there in ministering like that, sometimes it happens. I'll just step up in front of a person, all of a sudden I'll know. Sometimes I touch them and all of a sudden I'll just know things. Through a word of knowledge. When I touch them, I know. Say, why does it operate with them? I ain't got a clue. I don't know why it operates that. But that's the way it operates. And see, I think what people need to understand, if they understand the importance of when we lay hands on people, we understand the importance of that, of why we do it. The touch is an incredible thing. The touch is down through all of the history of humanity. You know, the shaking of hand, we do it just as a casual, nice thing. That was no casual, nice thing or started from that. That had to do with people would shake hands from the standpoint because of enemies carrying weapons and stuff. That was it, that you don't have anything, you're not trying to attack that person. There was great meaning in the fact, people, with the agreements that people would do, the things, like, you know, today we use the shaking of hands on agreements. You know, two people shake hands on something or things. We do things. These are all down through history that men did those things. Because it has great significance. Why? It came from God. The human touch to one another is an enormous thing. It's a huge thing. And the fact that people can transmit things one to another. God established that from the beginning. That people could transmit things from their spirit. You could transmit good or evil. You can transmit good or evil. The Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Why does it say it? There's things you don't want to touch. There's stuff you don't want to touch. You don't want to join yourself to. I tell you, there's people, I'd never let them lay their hands on me, pray over me, and they're Christians. I know people and that stuff, they're born again, I guess, you know, they're born again, but they got spirits operating in them. I've seen people and that stuff talk out things that people thought was tongues, and it wasn't tongues, it was demonic. And I knew it, man, when it came out, I knew it. Man, it was like somebody taking a chalk on a chalkboard and going, in my spirit, it was like, screeching away. It was like, oh man, stop it. And I knew people who thought those people were really spiritual and hung around with them and that stuff. I knew one person ended up dead over it. You know, open the door and the devil gets in and kills you. You know, you better pay, you know, we got to pay attention. You don't just go join up to anything. People, stuff gets passed on. You know, people wonder why. You know, we talk about familiar spirits and you get in families. Why do you have certain things passed down? You know, everybody today puts all of it on genetics. Oh, you know, you got it through your genetics. Loads of stuff is spirits passed down from through generations. Why? Because you're in a family. And those things have been familiar with that family and they want to stay in the middle of it. And but if you know how to do it, you can bring a stop to that stuff and say, hey, hold it. We ain't having it here. It ends at this place in the generational line. It stops right here. If you understand faith, you could bring it to a stop and throw that devil out. You know, I've learned to do that concerning my family and with Wanda's family and that stuff, that there was things that are passed down from both of our families, generations of stuff that operated that didn't get a chance to operate in our family. When I found out about the Word of God, I put a stop to it. The stuff that the demons that were operated were familiar. And I'm not talking about, you know, her, she had a bad family or I had a bad family. It's just there's demons in this earth and there's things people yield to. Put a stop to it. Say, man, that stuff ain't operating in my family. It ain't getting around here. It ain't doing that. We ain't taking that stuff on. Uh-uh. Those spirits are out. You know, sometimes some of the people, you know, when you cast that devil out, and that devil ain't allowed to operate what's around you, so sometimes they end up not liking you much. Because they like to operate in that stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I found out a long time ago. You know, I've had Christians in that stuff over the years. They'd get around me and just be as irritated as you could get. They'd just be irritated. I could tell when they get around me, they'd just irritated. They didn't understand what the irritation was about. I knew it was about. It was about this demon that they yield to. And they'd get around me. There's a person who used to come to our church, and every time, after a while, they couldn't stand it, couldn't come anymore. But they wouldn't yield to it. They wouldn't have this spirit dealt with. They liked it. And they wouldn't have a deal with it. They wouldn't mess with it. But I'll tell you what, they just come to church. And coming to church was just, I mean, it was miserable for them. Because that spirit couldn't, it was just irritated. The spirit didn't want to be in church. No way. And that spirit ended up killing them too. They ended up dead. Died prematurely in life and ended up dead. Getting out there, going out, doing their things. See, that's why we want to operate. But we need to understand these things. Things people have stuff. It can be what people have in them. So, you know, we just don't want anybody's brother laying hands on us. But on the other hand, when we're ministering by the Word of God, it's a powerful, wonderful thing. You have the Spirit of God in you, and you can minister to things. And here we find healing is something that we are told we can minister to people through the touch. Touch is powerful. You know, it's just like, You get somebody, even from a, we take it from a natural standpoint, but it isn't just natural. It's one thing when you can say all the wonderful words you want to a person can help somewhat, but it's another thing to give them a hug or just to touch a person. It can make a huge, enormous difference. I remember a study that they did years ago, and they actually did this. They took babies, and they took them, ones they showed affection to and things would touch in a group, and another that they didn't. They fed them well. They took care of them, met all their needs. But there was no, and these kids that they didn't touch and things, they grew. They started developing into very cold, just, you know, away from other people. They were just messed them up psychologically. Well, they found this out years later. Then when the Soviet Union broke up, and they found some of the countries and what they were doing with their, some of these orphanages and stuff with babies, because they had all these babies and stuff in these communist countries were in orphanages and stuff, and there was no real touch or care, and these kids were all messed up. There was no really, you can't get away from that. You can teach a kid all the right things you want to do, but you know, it's like when our kids, when they were born, you know, people say, oh, you hold your kids too much, you're going to spoil them. You know, and I watch these people, you don't spoil kids from hugging them and loving them and kissing them. It's for all the other dumb stuff you do, you spoil them. You spoil them by, when they're bad, letting them get away with it. That's spoiling a child. You know, hugging them and kissing them. Man, I held our kid. I remember Alyssa was born. I would come home every night from work. And the first thing I did is I got home and I'd go hold her. First thing I'd do is go hold her. I'd hold her and talk to her and stuff and things. And you develop, that's, and I tell you what, nobody develops. It's just like a husband and wife would never, that don't really, you know, do much of any kind of touch or anything. You don't develop much of really of a relationship. You might, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to fuss and fight with each other, but you never develop a relationship. And there's a part of love that you never really run into. You have to have that, you know. I watched, you know, my parents were born and raised. You didn't do all that. You know, they must have did some touching sometimes at night because they're producing a lot of kids. But that was it. And you know what? You know, they never had the strongness in relationship. There's one thing about it. I mean, there was always things in between them on stuff. And I learned with Wanda and I, you know, and that stuff is you gotta like each other. And touch is a huge thing. Touch is an enormous thing. And so I just want you to get across that as understanding, because Jesus said we lay hands on a person. And we need that touch can be at a very important. Your touch, understand this, what you are can be conveyed to another person through touch. You know, some people need the touch because what you are, you have the life of God, and when you touch somebody, whether you realize or not, some people just need that touch from the standpoint because of what it conveys to them. What it's conveying to them. The touch. We could take from a natural perspective. You take a sick person and you want to pray for them, but you won't touch them because you're afraid you're going to get the disease. You just transmitted fear to an individual. You just transmitted fear to them. And you're talking about healing. Well, we know you don't believe in healing because you wouldn't have been afraid to touch it. See, we convey a lot of stuff through these things. See, it's one of the things, the compassion that we show, and that kind of thing in these kinds of areas, we need to understand this. Because that's why it's like, you know, whenever I've gone any place of any country or anything I've been at, India, different places, and people sick and stuff going on, it's one of the things that I know this administers deeply to people, is the fact that you would come and touch them. That you come and touch them. You know, I've had people tell me going out to places and, you know, out in the backwoods. I've had people ask me already, why would you come here to us? Why would you, you know, you have a good life. Why do you come here? Because, you know, they could hardly believe anybody wants to come to them. I was in Peru and got off a bus. We were in a bus. It was a nice bus. It was one of these big over-road buses. And we went out in the one area. You know, it was nice and air-conditioned inside and everything. It was a nice, clean bus and everything. And we went out to the Devil's Mouth in areas, you know, in a population of about 1 million people living in a place with nothing. I mean, no sewage systems, no electricity, very little electricity, very little of anything. Got off the bus, and my interpreter said to me, he said, I want you to know this. He said, be careful of what you say and do around these people. He said, nobody comes and visits these people. And he said, the fact that you guys show up here, he said, you got this nice bus you're showing up in. He said, all of a sudden, he said, my God, he said, they'll think you're God. He said, they'll believe anything you say. But just because you would come to them. See, what we convey to people is very important, is the fact that, so you make sure you tell them the truth and you preach what's right to them. Because nobody like us would come. And that's the way those people were almost astounded that we would come out to visit them. Because nobody comes. I mean, the politicians don't even go there to get votes. Nobody goes to those places, you know. You know, nobody probably goes there unless they want something, not to give anybody anything. They go there to take. And they ain't got nothing to take, but people will go take what they got. But the whole thing of it is we understand is the fact that you would show up to them, and then the fact that we would go and sit, talk to them individually, lay our hands on them and pray for them, talk to them. Hugely powerful, powerful thing that you're doing. It's a hugely powerful thing. And do you ever think about it? We have all kind of things that we do in campaigning to people. But I'll tell you, one of the most powerful things of campaigning still is some guy that goes out and touches and shakes hands with people. It's a powerful thing. Like, people always make fun of the guy that you know, goes out there and holds people's babies and stuff. But I'm going to tell you what. You show you like somebody's kid, you probably got his vote. That guy can send you an email and tell you he loves you. But there's another thing where that guy showed up and hugged your kid. Touch is a hugely powerful thing. I believe it's from heaven. I don't believe the devil thought this up. I believe it's heaven made men like this. I believe that, and we need to understand is why this touch thing is such a huge thing. And it does transmit. It transmits stuff. And we need to get a hold of it. We have something in us that we can transmit to another individual. God told us we have healing power that we can transmit to somebody else. We can do that. So we lay hands on people. This is one thing, is be bold about that fact. You lay hands on an individual, you tell them, I'm laying hands on. When I lay hands on you, God's healing power is going to go into you. We'll talk about that next week. We'll probably teach more on that. But you tell them, I'm laying hands on you, and the healing power of God is going to go into you when I lay my hands on you. See, this is why many people don't ever see nothing happen, because they don't ever act like nothing's going to happen. They just lay hands on a person and pray and ask God to do something. No, you tell a person something. If we're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, I'll just tell them, I'm going to put my hand on you and you're going to recover. You're going to get well. That's what the Word says. I'm supposed to do. See, people don't follow the Word and they wonder why the stuff don't work. No, I'm going to lay hands on you and you're going to recover. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to inspire faith in an individual with telling them. I inspire their faith. Because why? Wow, he believes this thing. Yeah, yeah. See, they're waiting for somebody to believe something. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for somebody that's sure of something. Somebody's going to come along to them as sure of something. And it might be the guy who comes along and tells them, oh, I'm sorry, this healing stuff's gone. Well, he convinced them. And they told him, because the people that pray for him are no more convincing than he, or near as convincing as he is. So be assured that you're going to do something for somebody and let them know what God's going to do. This is what he said. Jesus Christ himself said, if I laid hands on the sick, I'm a believer. I believe that if I lay hands on the sick, they recover. So I know this. The power of God is going to be there when I touch you to cause you to recover, that it's there. See, you want the person to respond in faith. You need to do things. The Lord told me years ago, in fact, this was back when I was a young Christian. He told me that what I do in faith and ministering to people, he said, your actions of faith, he said, will inspire people to believe. He said, there's loads of people that are going to hook up with you and they'll get what they're believing for because of your confidence in what you're ministering. See, if you don't have much confidence about what you're ministering, people pick it up just like that. Well, we're going to pray for you and see what God will do. We're going to pray for you, you know. No, I'm going to pray for the healing power of God's here. The healing power of God's going to go into you. So people know that. You don't understand? The Holy Ghost is going to respond to you in the way you respond to the Word. That's the only way it works. It's how I respond to the Word. He responds at the level. If you want Him to respond in a greater way, you've got to act in faith in a higher level. So start just say what the Word says. Jesus said this is going to happen, this happened. This is what happens. You'll inspire a person to believe because of what you believe in it. You inspire them to believe. And I found that was true. I started to practice that. Where people had a hard time receiving. I learn it on over in the areas of baptism of the Holy Ghost. I get people filled with the Holy Ghost. I can do that. And I learned because most people minister it with no confidence whatsoever, and there's loads of people don't get filled with the Holy Ghost unless there's a manifestation of the Spirit. If the gift of faith takes off and starts working, well, you get people filled with the Holy Ghost and pop. I mean, you don't have to do nothing about it. They get filled. But if you're doing it just by faith, I found it out. My confidence in the fact that they're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's many people, that's how they get filled with the Holy Ghost. They're just so confident in hearing what I say. They're so confident how I believe about it. Hey! And what it does, it inspires them to believe. And that's what you want to do. That's what we want to do, is get them to believe. Well, I found it out. I began to practice it. I was in a church, and they'd have me minister to people the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I just learned from Kenneth Hagin about inspiring people through your faith, how you do that. Well, I started doing that. Well, my words, we had loads of people in this church. They all believed in me and been filled with the Holy Ghost. We had numbers of people that never got filled, that they were always seeking to get filled. And I started just getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, after a while, and then I got over with the Full Gospel Businessmen. Well, dear Lord, in a lot of our meetings, we were getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I got over, God could get people filled with the Holy Ghost and pop. So they started using me. Said, well, you minister people baptism of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't nothing special. I just believed in what the Bible said. I'd tell them what the Bible said. I'd tell them they're going to get, when I lay hands on you, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. I didn't say, well, we're going to pray for you and, you know, we're going to seek God. No, we ain't going to seek God. The Holy Ghost is here. We ain't seeking nothing. We ain't seeking the baptism. The Holy Ghost has been waiting to get on you. When I lay hands on you, and you're going to get it. Hallelujah. He's here and you're getting it. And they're like, woo! You know that. And when you have a person that's been taught something else and we wonder why they didn't respond. Well, in the same way we do this over here with healing, we encourage the people, you're getting something. God's going to touch you. He's going to help you. He said He would. Hallelujah. So he's going to use me. Don't say, hey, well, don't look at me. Did Peter say that God gave you? Don't look at me. Boy, every time I hear a Christian say that, I mean, boy, it just turns me. I hear, well, they're trying to be humble, but they don't realize they just destroyed an individual's faith. I'm sorry. Jesus said we'd lay hands on the sick. So if we're going to be doing it, look on me, because I'm going to be ministering it to you. You better be looking and paying attention here. Don't be looking someplace else. Jesus is in me to minister to you. If you want to run into Jesus today, get over here looking. I'm going to minister under the authority of Jesus Christ to you. I am His ambassador, said so in the Bible. If you want to run in, you know, what would an ambassador, to one of our ambassadors in the nations out here would say to you, you know, don't look at me, you know, just go look at Obama, you know, if you want some. Well, Obama found out you were saying that, he'd fire you and put a new ambassador in. Wouldn't he? Well, I'll tell you, Jesus don't fire you, but a lot of Christians are useless because they think they're now, and they aren't trying to be bad, but what they're doing is trying to point everybody away from them in thinking it's humble, and it's not humble. It's not humble. God uses you. Hallelujah. He said, you believe, you lay hands on the sick, and they recover. So this I know, God will work through Ed. He will work through you guys because He said so. He's going to do it. Jesus is going to do this. So, you know, just like the disciples, they prayed. They prayed when Peter and John were told they couldn't preach in that name anymore. They went back, they asked Jesus they said, Father, reach forth your hand to heal. Signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. He said, do that. In other words, God, you reach forth your hand. How does God reach forth His hand? Da, 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 da. Did you ever think about it? If you're operating in faith, when you lay hands on an individual, God has laid His hand on them. So you don't tell somebody, don't look at me. You look at me. When I touch you, it's God's touching you. I'm not God, but God is touching you through me. That's how God does it. Hallelujah. People say, I want to get touched by God. Well, come on up. Come on up. I'll touch you. God's living me. He'll transmit healing power to you. See, you've got to get over and think about it. We don't find out any place in Scripture after that took place. You know what the Bible says? Great signs and wonders were done at the hands of the apostles. Where'd Jesus go? They asked Jesus to show up and He didn't. Well, yes, He did. He showed up in the hands of the apostles. That's where He showed up. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to read a Scripture to you here from Luke, the 4th chapter. In Luke, the 4th chapter, Luke 4, and in verse 40, we have where Jesus was ministering in Capernaum, and He came to Peter's home. And, He came to Peter's house, and Peter's, we have the incident where Peter's mother was sick. Now, let's start verse 38. It says, and now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon Peter's house. And it says, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. It says, so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served. Now, we're going to read on, but I want you to see here, first of all, we're going to see him minister. Here, Jesus didn't touch her, but rebuked the fever. But I want you to understand, Jesus is led by the Spirit. Jesus, you need to understand this in ministry. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. Jesus didn't go on and say, I think I'll minister to this person this way, and I'll minister that way. You don't ever do that. You be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is led by the Spirit. In other words, He was compelled to minister her in this fashion. He just rebuked it. But now we want to see what He did that night. Then in verse 40 tells us, it says, when the sun was setting, He said, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Him, and He laid His hands on every one of them and healed them. So we see, he converts to the laying on of hands, which Jesus has done many, many times in Scripture, laying hands on people, touching people to be healed. If the Holy Spirit doesn't direct you to do in any other way. You can always fall back, because we have in Scripture, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. We always have that to fall on. I mean, that's where we go to. When I minister to people. If the Holy Ghost doesn't direct me to a specific way to minister, I always do the laying on of hands. Because I have scriptural basis that I can minister in that fashion. That is a biblical way. I don't have a biblical fashion that says that I can just speak over everybody, because we don't find that the day that was done over everyone. We know that times of Jesus ministered in different ways, but we find this certain way that we are told in scriptures that Jesus said, in my name you can do that, and that'll work. So, always understand that. You can always take that scripture, because he said that was one thing that we would do as believers. We carry that out. We found through that even with the laying on of hands, in verse 41 it says, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. So in other words, when he's laying hands on people, we find here that demon activity and stuff, that demons left people. You know, there's one thing that to understand this. It's through the laying on of hands, sometimes it comes to you, because sometimes a person can be dealing with an issue of health where there's a demon involved, and if that demon's not dealt with, you ain't going to get him healed. Sometimes a demon. Sometimes demons will leave just through the laying on of hands for healing, but not always. Some demons have to specifically be dealt with. From a personal standpoint, you have to command them to come out. You have to command that demon to leave that person. That demon. Now, we're not talking about it from a Christian standpoint. We're not talking about a Christian as demon possessed. A person's body can be oppressed by a demonic power. Many times there's Christians that have that. Their body, the sickness is, there's a demonic oppression. And this is why people, even in your own personal life, you need to pray. You know, Brother Hagin talked about it. He said about it. I've said this before, and it's a good way to measure something. If you have a problem that normally medication takes care of and can help, but you take it, it don't help you, but it generally helps others. He said there's a good chance there's a demonic problem going on there. There's something that is not being that is dealt in that line. Well, you need to find out. See, most people never ask. They pray and just go, oh, God, heal me. Healing. They just keep going there. They don't say, God, is there anything else here that I don't know about? Is there anything going on here I need to know? Is there anything that's happening to me? See, lots of people don't do that. They just pray in one direction. And I found out this. Unless you ask, God don't deal, won't deal. Lots of times talk to you about it. You know? There's things that even I know with people that I would never tell them about that I know. Unless they ask me. If they ask me, and then sometimes I'd ask them, do you really want to know the answer? Because I find out sometimes people ain't happy about the answer. I know it. You need to understand until people ask. You know, some people, they ain't looking for an answer on something. Even though you know, don't bother going and tell them. You're not even wasting your time. And but we have here this laying on of hands. We have here that Jesus laid hands on everybody here in this instant. Everybody that was brought to them, he ministered in that fashion. So unless the Holy Ghost tells us to do or minister in any other fashion, we should and can always rely on this method of healing, that it will work for you. I'm going to look at some other examples here concerning the laying on of hands. Another here one, if we're in Luke, while we're here in Luke, let's go to Luke to Luke 13. Let's go to Luke 13, and Luke 13, and verse. This is we had read about this before with the woman with the infirmity, and Jesus said, "It isn't good as the daughter of Satan, a daughter of Abraham." Not be free to this thing. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up. And he rebuked the spirit. There was a spirit on her, but he rebuked the spirit. But it says in verse 13, and he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So he rebuked a demonic power, but he touched her. And here in this incident, again, even though he rebuked a demonic power, he touched her, and immediately she was healed. So there was a demonic power there, but just the demonic power leaving didn't change the thing. And he touched her. And immediately, on the touch, she was made well. So I wanted to see that. But also, we want to look, because we want to see the touching of the apostles. If we go over in Acts to the 5th chapter, and in Acts the Acts 5. In Acts 5, am I right on here? Acts 5, verse 12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Simon's porch." But through the laying on of hands of the apostles. So we see many of the signs and wonders that took place through the apostles were done through the laying on of hands. So we could probably say this, and we're not doing any exaggeration, probably the majority of things that happened was through touch. They were through touch, the majority. So, see, we can see there is a precedence over on this area of touch, of laying on hands, of touch. So we see it in the book of Acts now. So we looked at things about Jesus and his ministry, but we see the apostles are doing the same stuff. They're carrying out the same things. In Acts 14, we even see here, Acts 14... this is Paul at Iconium, and it says, verse 3 says, "Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands." The signs and wonders that were, now it says signs and wonders were done. Signs and wonders were done by their hands. So, we have Paul in the ministering here, and it was signs and wonders were done by their hands. So here we get again. So not only just healing, I believe there was probably other things took place too, but were done by hands touched, hands done and things, different things that happened. We know the fact of things of demons. Jesus laid hands on people and demons left them. In other words, the power of God in an individual can cause a demonic power to leave just through that. In Acts 19, now, we have here in 19, is something we talked about before, but I want you to see what it says. We use as one of the areas of healing was laying hand, of the fact of handkerchiefs and aprons, but we want to see something because of the statement it makes about that. Paul, it said in verse 11 of chapter 19, says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul." It says by his hands. Unusual miracles. This is miracles. Now, miracle, understand what a miracle is. A miracle is a demonstration really outside the ordinary course of nature. A miracle is, when a miracle takes place, you know, we use the word, Kenneth Hagin used to always say about, we use the word miracle very loosely today to, in our, you know, we turn around and, you know, we got miracle drugs, we got miracle, you know, soaps, we got miracle, anything can be a miracle, but really, none of them are miracles because they're worked in the bounds of the laws of nature. You know, they're found within nature and they work within those bounds. We're talking about things that take place outside the ordinary course of nature. It says it was done by Paul's hands. So he did things that naturally could not be done. He did some things that naturally, that are out of nature, are not done. That you couldn't do it. And I believe some of those things. There can be healing miracles in from the standpoint somebody has a twisted up, shriveled arm or something and they get touched and that arm all of a sudden straightens out and becomes normal. That's a healing miracle. That is something outside the ordinary course of nature. You know, that isn't recovery. There's a difference between laying on. But we find at the hands of Paul, there were miracles. If we go back to Azusa Street and things, I was down in Peru and they told the story in Arequipa. You know, the missionary that was down there that we were with, they had a guy who was on the street, was a street preacher in Arequipa. Anyhow, they had this big move of God up there and the power of God manifested in the church in a cloud. For weeks, people couldn't go into church. Anybody ever tried to walk into church, he'd fall down under the power. Nobody could get into church. This cloud was in the church. They'd go out in the street and preach, and this guy, one of the guys that they had out on the street preaching, was preaching one day, and a group of people gathered around him. And they gathered around him, and there was a guy there who had one eye. In his other eye, there was no eye in his socket. He was born, his skin was just completely grown over, and it just sunk in there, you know, where an eye sock would be. There was no eye. And while he was preaching, an eye started forming in this guy's thing, and it split, the skin split open. Eyelashes and everything formed, and the whole bit, and this guy had an eye and could see. He's just, well, now that's a miracle. That's definitely outside the ordinary course of nature, isn't it? That's definite, you know. So things happen like that. And one of these things that's made mention here is the fact with Paul. He said that even, now he didn't say this was the only thing, that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them and evil. See, that wasn't, what people talk about here are miracles. People act like this is the miracle thing and how it was done. No, it wasn't. It said this was done. Even that claws were taken from him and they took it to people and they were healed. That was unusual at the time because people hadn't seen that. But we know that at Paul's hands, there was miracles that took place. So, you need to understand this. Don't ever limit yourself to the laying on of hands can be, you know, just a no biggie thing happening here. I'm telling you, miracles can take place if we learn. And I think we find this out if we start to operate in faith of just laying hands on the sick. If we really, you know, most people are loving to have a miracle happen, God would do something through them to help somebody, but they don't even really have much of faith to minister to people in the areas of healing. Develop your faith over the area when you lay hands on people, because that will lead to something greater. You don't go from hardly believing a thing and then you're going to be Mr. Miracle Maker. You know, don't go there. So when we respond in areas, learn to develop your faith over the area of laying hands on people, that you can do that. Develop your faith on there to lay hands on people in that area. Be confident about the power of God working for you. Now, you don't heal people. Sometimes people won't receive it. They say they want to be healed, but they won't receive it. They're operating out of the flesh and want to get over there. That's not my problem. But I need to build my confidence in the areas where I go over and minister in the area and lay hands on people. But we find that miracles were done at Paul's hands. Miracles took place. So miracles can take place through us. I find, like I said before, many times when I have operated just on faith on the areas of laying hands on the sick, then when I laid hands on them, other gifts began to manifest. Other gifts, the word of knowledge, sometimes a word of wisdom would come to me, or you know, something would come to me. It was just through the laying on of hands. Had that happened many times with people. You know, God sometimes has told me over the years to have a person come up, and I've done it numbers of times. Sometimes I've had other ministers who are visiting our church. I told them, come up. Lord, just really to pray over them. When I'm there, I don't know what I'm going to even pray over. I don't know what I'm going to pray over them at all. Lord says, I want you to pray over them. Well, we see act in faith in that. They come up, and when I touch them, all of a sudden things will come to me. All of a sudden something will just come to me when I'm supposed to do, or when I'm supposed to minister something to them. Or a word, you know, I've had numbers of times that we've had ministers that come to our church over the years. I've had people come. When I touched them, I got a word of wisdom to them and spoke to them about things and God's plans for them and stuff. And they sat down and they've told me time and time again, ministers have told me, you know, I've never talked to anybody about that, but God spoke to me about that thing. And God was used by God to confirm to them what God had already spoken to them that he wanted to use them in. And understand, God can do those things. Now, we're talking specific about laying hands on for healing, but I found out all kinds of things have gone on already when I laid my hands on a person to be healed. When you operate in areas of faith like that, you'll find out God can do many other things. In Acts 28, we'll go back to the last chapter here, Acts 28. This is Paul's ministry in Malta, where he was on the island after the shipwreck. And it says what Paul did. It said, and it happened in verse 8 that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. It says, so when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Well, we can sure assume Paul was laying hands on them. That's what he was doing. He laid hands on this guy who was healed. So there Paul was. Paul was ministering in that fashion. So we know from the standpoints we have things of Paul, that Paul ministered in this way to people. We know that he was in cities ministering to people, that they ministered that way to people by the touching their hands. And signs and wonders were done. We know that miracles were done through Paul, through his hands. And so we see it over into the book of Acts. So we can know that this is the way, you know, saints minister. That it's a way that God has called you and I to minister. So you and I hook up with God in these areas to minister in that. And that's why, you know, is we need to get over to we walk in the light of the truth in these areas. We look through all these scriptures because I think we've proved enough about the laying on of hands. That is a way that is, and I believe it is probably the most predominant way that we'll probably minister to people, that we will do things to, is in ministry to people. Not just with in the areas of laying hands on the sick, but for other things too. We find that, you know, just like with Timothy got a gift of God was passed on to him through the elders when they laid hands on him. So this is a way that God has designed to minister. And it's just like I had taught on some Wednesdays back some time ago about the law of contact and transmission. I mean, in the natural, we have a law concerning that. Well, in the spirit, it's the same way. It's one of the things you make contact with somebody is by touch. Things can be transmitted to another individual. That's not some kind of weird thing. I mean, it's a law that stands. The laws that we have in the natural came out of laws that are in the spirit. That's why the healing anointing and even the anointing to minister other things many times manifests almost like electricity. I get like a sense of electricity. Many times I've touched, I mean hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, but thousands of times I've touched people. And when I've touched them, it felt to me as if like electrical power went out of me into them. I know it's the anointing, but it feels like it flows like electricity. I've been shocked by electricity on numbers of occasions. When I was in the service electronics, you get shocked every once in a while. You'd have it happen. And I worked at Reese's and got shocked a number of times and things. But you get shocked, and I tell you, it's a lot. It flows like a lot of electricity, like electricity. If you get grounded, something's up, you can feel that power when it flows, and it's a flow of it. You break away from it, it stops. But when you're touching it, it nails you, and it does. It's a flow. The anointing, I can feel it. Sometimes stronger, not as strong. Sometimes it isn't a whole lot of a sense, but I can feel it. I touch a person with a hand, and I can feel it going out from my hand into them. I can feel that. Sometimes it's much stronger. Sometimes I've touched people already, and it's very strong. And I've seen other people do it. I've had it happen to me. Sometimes the sensation is so strong, it almost knocks me down. So you get a whole lot of electricity flowing through you. Well, it knock anybody down around, you know. I've seen it. You people got hit with a lot of power already, jump from one person to another. It was right there. Got nailed. And a lot of power. You got to watch yourself. So you don't get grounded around certain things when there's too much power. It doesn't matter how much voltage, it's how much amperage is behind that thing. The amount of current is what will kill you. Because, we had igniters at Reese's that were on the ovens, they were really high voltage, like 22,000 volts, but they were low amperage. That didn't mean it didn't affect you. One time I got nailed by one of them. We were hooking it up, and they didn't have the power turned off to it. We were hooking it up, and I got hit by it, and my arm went dead. Like you go, yeah, it just gave a shock through there and did something to the nerves in the arm. And we knew it would come back, but it took a little time for it to start to come back, man. And then when it did come back, it was tingling, man. My arm, it's almost like a burning sensation when your arm falls asleep, you know, or if something falls asleep, your leg or something, you cut the blood off to it. That's what it's almost like. Coming back, well, it's like, oh, man, it wasn't nice. But out there, I nailed that thing. I knew I nailed it. See, they said it don't have much current. No, it don't, but that was still, it fixed me up. I'm glad it didn't have much current. You wouldn't want to have had a bunch of amps on that thing. They'd have been doing a funeral. So anyhow, but we lay hands on it. So I'm not going to go on any further today. We're going to stop right there, but and we're gonna pick up next week. We're gonna begin to what God, when we minister to people, what does God give them? What does God give them? And it's important because many times people are not really looking at this scripturally, and they're expecting something else other than what God gives them. So they don't think they got anything. So we're going to begin to look at that next week. But I encourage you to build your faith in the area about you laying hands on people. Of what you got in you. See, is what you know, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You got something in you. Hallelujah. You're powerful. And seeing yourself as powerful as you got the power package is inside of you. You know, it's just sort of having like a regular battery or getting the lithium battery. Well, you got the lithium battery. You got the good one. And that's what you got inside of you. And it carries a good charge, and it's in you, and getting yourself thinking over that. You know, it's God is having us minister something that's already in us, not something we're trying to get. Most people are praying like we're trying to get God to come and work through us. When Jesus told us, we're lay hands on the sick and they recover. He didn't tell us to pray to get the power to move. He didn't say none of that. He didn't say anything about that. He said, you lay hands on the sick, and in my name, they recover. That the authority of his name was enough to use. I really believe the authority of his name ain't no more than the switch that turns it on. You have faith in that name, it turns the switch on to the power. We touch the person and somebody, we're making the circuit by faith. When you have faith is that, and you touch that person, you just made the circuit. Hallelujah. And the power will flow. If the power doesn't flow, there's something wrong. Then it didn't work. Then what Jesus said wasn't true. If I'm in faith and it don't work, and I'm in faith and I'm following the word, I have every right to stop and say, Jesus, you're out of line. I'm operating in line with your word. I believe what your word says. And you ain't doing it. I'd have every right to do that. I'm going to tell you, Jesus don't lie. And so I got to get myself over to believe he don't lie. And when we do it, and I'm believing in the name, we make contact is what we're doing. Is we're the switch. All of a sudden, we turn that switch on. It's ready. The power's flowing. All we got to do is touch a person. Didn't say you got to pray for him. Said it happened in his name. Say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. We can do that. Hallelujah. And what's in you is going to flow into them. Hallelujah. If you line up with the Word, the Holy Ghost will always do His part. That's one of the biggest things I've learned about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it or shows it to us. He does it when we respond in line with the Word. When you do what the Word says and believe it's true, the Holy Ghost will back it up. And that's what He's in the earth for, is to back it up through you, that it's true. So He's going to manifest it. He's going to cause the electric to flow. Because once you turn, you're operating in the areas of faith. You're in faith. He's going to do it. He is going to do it. Hallelujah. So we can rely on that. Father, we just thank you this morning as we looked at these things in the Word. Father, I thank you for our confidence in the Word of God growing and developing. Lord God, to respond to you so the Word of God works in our life, but also, Lord God, so we can minister to others. Hallelujah. Father God, people need to see there's a real God in heaven. And I thank you that you're going to manifest that, the real God of heaven. Hallelujah. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be manifested through the faith in the name of Jesus to others. Father, I thank you for the healing of the sick when we lay hands on them. I thank you, Father God, that people will recover. They will get well because your word is true. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.